06-3212, Bolte against the Supreme Court of Wisconsin. Mr. Bolte.
This appeal was filed after the District Court in Milwaukee dismissed a 1983 complaint on motions. The complaint alleges that Wisconsin, the state of Wisconsin, lacking any jurisdiction whatsoever in the state of Colorado, entered a judgment against the plaintiff for the unauthorized practice of law in the Federal District Court of Colorado and or in the state of Colorado. That's significant direct and color of law misconduct by the highest court in the state of Wisconsin. It's described in many Supreme Court cases as a constitutional court. When I briefed the case, I brought forth to you everything that I thought I had on jurisdiction. There are no factual questions which are involved in this, and why the judgment was void ipso facto and therefore not usable under the Rooker-Feldman doctrine. Wisconsin, the state of Wisconsin, did not deny that they acted without jurisdiction, and they did not deny in their briefing that the judgment that they had rendered was void. They didn't deny or didn't really respond to the issues which are brought before this court. So I asked for this oral argument so that the state could come forward and explain to you and to me where it is written in a constitution, in a statute, in case law, that Wisconsin can act extraterritorial or extraterritorium under the Pelican language, specifically in the state of Colorado, and how a void judgment, legally ineffective from its inception, that's Ninth Circuit language, a dead on arrival can be resuscitated to stand up and serve as a block to access to the federal jurisdiction. So I would yield to them to explain that to you and to me. Unless you have questions.
Thank you, sir. We'll hear now from Mr. Rice.
Morning, Your Honors. Morning, Counsel. My name's David Rice. I'm a Wisconsin Assistant Attorney General, and I appear here on behalf of the Supreme Court of the State of Wisconsin and the individual justices of the Wisconsin Supreme Court. The single issue in this case is whether the complaint was barred by the Rooker-Feldman doctrine. It's plain that it was. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in 1969 in the case of McKay versus Nesbitt made this statement. Orders of a state court relating to the admission, discipline, and disbarment of members of its bar may be reviewed only by the Supreme Court of the United States on certiorari to the state court, and not by means of an original action in a lower federal court. The rule serves substantial policy interests arising from the historic relationship between state judicial systems and the members of their respective bars, and between the state and federal judicial systems. That language was cited with approval in the Feldman decision of the Supreme Court, footnote 16. There is no question that the proceeding involving the appellant in this case was a disciplinary proceeding, resulting in his public reprimand and an order requiring him to pay the cost of the disciplinary proceeding. There's no question that as an order of the state's highest court acting in its judicial capacity, his only recourse was to review it in the United States Supreme Court and not in the federal district courts of Wisconsin. This should not be news to this appellant, since this is the second time that he's come before this court and the issue has related to a Rooker-Feldman doctrine. And the court previously decided, and I'm not allowed, as I understand it, to cite specific opinions of this court, but there has at least been a prior adjudication in this court in which this appellant should have been aware of the meaning and the principles of the Rooker-Feldman doctrine. There really is no more to say in this case. The case is barred. It can't be brought in federal court in the lower levels and can only have been brought by an appeal to the United States Supreme Court. Unless there are questions, we ask that the court affirm the decision of Judge Clavert in the district court.
Who raised it in the state Supreme Court, the disbarment issue? How did that get to the state Supreme Court? Was that his original client that raised that?
What happened was, after the decision of the Colorado Supreme Court, his client then filed a grievance with the Wisconsin Office of Lawyer Regulation, which then commenced a proceeding before a referee, resulting in a recommendation to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court accepted part of the recommendation from the referee, not all of it, and that resulted in the order of the court. Thank you.
You have 8 minutes, sir.
Thank you. I will use but one or two. He says, counsel alleges that the single issue is whether the Rooker-Feldman doctrine applies. I submit that I have submitted in my brief one that Rooker itself held that the state rendering court decision had jurisdiction, and they, in fact, there was apparently an allegation in that case to the effect that it was void for the same reasons as alleged here, and the court in Rooker said it indubitably that there was jurisdiction. That was reaffirmed by Justice Ginsburg in the Exxon case, I think, that I mentioned before. Two, the argument that he makes about consul and disciplinary proceedings would be applicable if there is or was any jurisdiction in the state court decision, but it's clear on its face that there is not. That document then is from many, many decisions, ineffective from its inception.
Which state court are you referring to? Jurisdiction in which state court?
I'm sorry, the rendering decision of the state of Wisconsin is void for lack of jurisdiction. And they're using that same decision, if that's your question. They're using same decision.
He explained it came through disciplinary procedure.
What did?
Yeah. So where's the lack of jurisdiction as far as the state of Wisconsin?
Because the Wisconsin, in their decision itself, did not use anything from Colorado under any comity or any full faith and credit. They directly, in their own language, applied Colorado and Wisconsin law for Colorado facts on a person who was in Colorado at the time that the alleged offense took place. It was something that the state of Colorado could have imposed, not the state of Wisconsin. Wisconsin has no jurisdiction out there.
Your claim is that any conduct that occurred, for example, in Illinois, could not be used in a disciplinary proceeding in the state of Wisconsin?
Any conduct that would be deemed to be violation of the law of Illinois, yes.
So even if you had a conviction in Illinois that was concerned some fraud or something, that they could not use that in the Wisconsin proceedings?
They could. I submit that in my brief also. The language of the statute that they applied seems to skirt around that and says if you violate the law of the state of the jurisdiction, the other jurisdiction, you can be brought under charges in Wisconsin. They can't give themselves jurisdiction outside the state of Wisconsin.
Your claim is that there's no adjudication of your conduct in the state of Colorado that could be used.
Well, there was an adjudication in a civil matter. And in the decision itself, the Wisconsin Supreme Court said, we can't bring that in, we can't use it in the state of Wisconsin as a judgment of Colorado to be used in the state of Wisconsin, filed in the state of Wisconsin. And the Pelican case and others so state, you cannot punish for a delict. You can, and that doesn't eliminate the full faith and credit issue which is involved, but a delict extraterritorium is not punishable. That goes way back to the 1800s. Have I answered that question for you, sir?
I believe that is all the questions.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bolton. The case will be taken under advisement with our thanks to both counsel.